As Charlie was saying, one of our philosophies of teaching is you learn to do by doing, and that's why we didn't feel that it would be wise, and we never have, to train teachers how to teach. Rather, let's let Charlie teach, and it's like the old violin that wouldn't sell at the auction until the master came up and played it, then it brought $2,000. Let's let Charlie teach, we'll see how to teach, and then we can talk about why he does what he does and how we are premeditated in what we do. There's several things I'd like to go over. Charlie moved very quickly at the beginning of the session because he knew he only had an hour. Normally he has an hour and a half. And so he dropped off some things. And one of the things is to express our own vulnerability. And one of the scriptures that Charlie usually quotes, and you might take your book and turn back to page number one on the introduction, or page number two on the purposes, but one of the scriptures that Charlie often shares is Psalm 62:5. My soul, wait thou only upon God for my what? Expectation is from Him. So I have nothing to offer tonight, but the Lord does. And as you heard Charlie's life, as Charlie came to Christ, ran from God, got in the oil fields, didn't get in the Word, years didn't read the Bible, he started stuttering and stammering, couldn't communicate. So God gave him a vocabulary, and this course is nothing but God's Word hooked together with if, ands, and buts. And that's why it's cross-cultural. That's why it works in Africa. That's why it works in Germany. That's why it works in England, Scotland, or Asia. Because it's just God's Word hooked together with if, ands, and buts. And we're teachers. You'll notice there's no pulpit up here. When Charlie came in today, that pulpit was here. That's for a preacher. We're teachers. And normally what Charlie has is an 8-foot or 6-foot folding table that's either laying like this or like that, and he spreads everything out. Normally there's not a lectern because we really don't want anything between us and the people. We are vulnerable, we are transparent, and we are like them. And we're going to share God's Word and let God's Word touch their lives. So, my soul, wait thou only upon God for my what? My expectation is from Him, not from Tom Phillips, not from Charlie Riggs, not from you, right? We want to be here because of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:10, because it's God's grace that we stand here. And that's another scripture Charlie usually uses. And also, whenever you look at your three-ring binder, it'll frighten you, because Lesson 1 has the outline, and these are the notes that we put together years and years and years and years ago. When I first started teaching, we had no notes for the instructor, so I took Charlie's notes by listening to him and writing everything down, and then I took Jack Humphreys, Kent, and Kirk's dad, and I wrote everything down. Then I got a couple of more guys that taught, and I was just beginning, and I was petrified. And so we amalgamated all those, we refined them, and if you'll look inside tab number one, it's your notes. The Effective Christian Life, it says outline. Instructor's outline. Then, when you look on past these, which is basically the book with more added to it, you'll see Lesson 1 notes. And that's basically a transcription of Charlie teaching. Okay? Now, when I first started out, we designed all those notes into a three-ring binder. Here's my old one. Class 1, Class 2, Class 3. And as I would go along and find great illustrations, I would cut them out of a paper, put them in here so that I could pull them back out and use them later. You've got to be very careful about illustrations because you only have an hour and a half. And you'll notice every illustration Charlie used, his wife told him about the 7 looks, he hit you and he was gone. He didn't spend 5 minutes going over a joke or a story or an illustration because, gentlemen, you don't have 5 minutes. By the time you get through all the material in the course, you're out of time. But you do want illustrations. And you'll notice that Charlie had quite a bit of humor mixed in, natural humor. But also, of course, if there's a joke or two that you can tell and they're brief and they hit the spot, that's great. But these are my old notes. And I remember the first time I took Kent and Kirk's dad's place on a 4th class in Albuquerque, New Mexico, I had my notes I'd put together. I had them on a lectern, and I promise you, there was no day any number of 5-day pads could have cared for me that night. I was utterly, utterly petrified. But I was tied to this book. Now, I don't know how well it went. And of course, as we've gone on in Mr. Graham's work, we've developed those notes into other styles. This is the same thing, just done a different way. Tonight, you've been given another book, same thing, done another way. But it's the instructor's guides. However, you'll notice that Charlie just used his book. Right? Now, here's the secret. Those folk out there don't know what you have in your book. They can look up and see a lectern, and you're different than them. They see you flipping pages, and they know you've got stuff they don't have. But if you've got it all written in your book, they don't know it. They think you're a spiritual giant, and you've got everything written in your book. Here's my old book. I've got about 4 old books I use. Now look at that thing. They have absolutely no idea that that's in there. Look at the second hand.
Now,
as long as we used to change the covers periodically and didn't change the page numbers, I'd just staple a new cover on top of an old one. Because it's so hard to rewrite these books. But if you will take the time to go through the notes and put everything in your book, I guess I sat under Jack Humphreys and Charlie Riggs 20, 30 times getting my book right. And we might not have that kind of time. However, you do have your set of tapes, right? Now, I want you to know I never trust myself. How many of you feel adequate? I am very inadequate, right? You are very inadequate. But this book is nothing but God's working through very ordinary and inadequate people. And what Charlie's trying to get across in this first lesson, as he shares his own vulnerabilities, that he is inadequate without Christ, because we're working with men who are going to be counselors, and some of them have never done it. And they're going to be afraid on the field. And you need to let them know that you are inadequate, but you're standing there by the grace of God. And you need to let them know that they are inadequate, and they're going to be counseling by the grace of God. So out of my own inadequacy, when I go back and listen to the tapes of the classes, though I might have taught them before, I don't listen to Tom Phillips' tapes. I listen to Charlie Riggs. And I've got an old set from Memphis, Tennessee, that I will listen to for, say, a month out, I'll start listening to all 4 of them. And then about a week out, I'll take class number 1, and I'll have it in my car, and I'll listen to it all the time. I'm driving back and forth. And then I'm reviewing my scriptures. I don't know about you, but I don't need to be 72 or 78 to have those moments. So I've got all the scriptures for the course on these cards, and I start reviewing these things about a month out. Because you'll notice when Charlie quotes a scripture, he doesn't ramble through it. He drives home the points of that scripture, and God the Holy Spirit uses those premeditative scripture quotes to literally drive the truth of God's Word into the human heart. And all this course is God's Word. Preparation for the first time you teach is a lot more than later. It's a tremendous amount of review later. But I do this because I know I don't want to stand up there and be embarrassed. And show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. So, here's the scriptures. You got your cheat sheet. Use humor. Be premeditated. And make it, put this word down somewhere on page number 3. Put the word personal. Make it personal. Now, Charlie was moving pretty quickly tonight. When he usually would come to the scripture memory time, he would make everybody stand up, and he would just make a copy on an overhead of those scriptures in the front of the book, and you can do this at any Kinko's, and then have everybody stand up, and everybody quotes verse 1, and everybody quotes verse 2, the title, the reference, the verse, and the reference again. We say the reference twice, title, verse, title, reference, verse, reference, because people forget the what? The reference. But, and when you come back to the second session, even though you may only have a bit of a break in between, then have them stand up and do it again. Make the people get involved with you. Even when Charlie saw someone had turned several pages, I didn't know who it was, but he pulled the audience in with that. I mean, that was hilarious. Somebody's sleeping. You know, nobody was sleeping, of course. Who was that? But make it personal by getting them to interact with you as much as you possibly can. And Charlie tended in the early days, I don't know if you still do it, Charlie, But he had pet little jokes that he would share kind of at the beginning of the session that were brief to get the people livened up just a little bit. Like, how many of you had a rough night last night, or you got up really early and you're a little tired and it's 9:30 and you're ready to go to sleep? How many are on Eastern time? So you're ready to go from this room. I needed to catch up last night. And so it's one of those nights where I worked till 2 and I got up at 7. But I needed to catch up because I knew what was coming today. And it reminds me of the Southern story about the man walking his horse and his dog down a gravel road. And a guy in a pickup came roaring around the curve, hit the man, hit the horse, hit the dog, and knocked them all in the ditch. Now, the man sued the guy in the pickup. So a month later, they're in court. The defendant's attorney has the old man on the platform, and he's in the seat giving his testimony. And said, "Now, sir, I want you to answer this next question, yes or no. Didn't you tell the defendant that day that you were okay?" "Well, that day my horse, my dog, and myself were..." And he stopped him. He said, "Sir, I want you to answer yes or no. Now, didn't you tell the defendant that day that you were okay?" "Well, my horse, my dog..." "Sir, judge, would you please tell this man to answer yes or no?" To which the judge replied, "I'd like to hear the old man's story." And the old man said, "Well, that day myself, my horse, my dog were walking down the road. This guy came around the curve too fast. He hit us all, knocked us in the ditch. He got out of his pickup with his rifle, went over to my dog who was mortally wounded and killed him and put him out of his misery. Walked over to my horse who had a broken leg, shot him in the head and put him out of his misery. Then he walked over to me." "And he said, 'Mister, are you okay?' To which I replied, 'I've never felt better in my life.'" So I've never felt better in my life than tonight. And if it's the first night and you're tired and you've just flown in and you've just driven in and you know you're tired and you've got to say something, that's a good way to get started. But make it brief, keep it short. So make it personal. You'll notice the variety of Charlie's inflections. You'll also notice when Charlie first started, he knew he was out of time. He was moving very quickly. But when he got on the Holy Spirit, he was leaning over the lectern, and he was... the Holy Spirit was doing it, but he was driving that truth into men's hearts that are here tonight. It is the Holy Spirit. And love is a good example of the Spirit in our lives. And do we love? And do we relate to our wives well? Now, whenever you listen to Charlie's tapes, you'll see in the hour and a half where he puts in the illustration. And what I did in the early days, wherever Charlie put in one, I put in one. I'd think of one of my own in my own life, and I'd put it in there. So make this course yours. Put it into the book. And listen, you have to think all the way through. Charlie's talking about the SBO, the specific behavioral objective of each one of the classes. But there's also a specific behavioral objective for the whole course. And the answer to that last one is, you can do this, folks. Because we're dealing with thousands of people from all stripes. You're going to be dealing with more mature people, unlike Crusade. And they come to the course... they don't know that they can counsel. They're a little afraid of going on that field. They don't think that they're an expert. So all the way through, we're telling them, you can do it. You can do it. And you notice that Charlie subliminally, subtly, was getting across, you can do it. Now, if you look at lesson number one, the title is The Effective Christian Life. And you think, well, I thought this was a course on witnessing. The next lesson is The Victorious Christian Life. Excuse me? The third lesson is witnessing. Well, why didn't we start the witness course on the first lesson with witnessing? The answer is very simple. If we don't have an effective life, will we be an effective witness? And the answer is no. If we're not digesting the Word of God properly, will we have an effective witness? The answer is no. If the Holy Spirit's not with us on the field that night and guiding us, will we be effective counselors that night? The answer is no. So if someone says, well, we're waiting till lesson three to start witnessing, no. Excuse me. We're starting the witness training in lesson number one. This whole course is about witnessing, but subtly we're letting them know that you build your life up and you will be a witness. So don't think we're waiting till lesson three to start the witness course. The witness course starts with lesson number one. And we all are very inadequate. Okay. I wanted to give you another little hint that I don't know how you feel. I am not Charlie Riggs. I might have taken Charlie's job, but I never filled his shoes. Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying? All right. Well, so I'll show you some of my... I've got this many slides in Lesson 1, and I've built them through the years, and I've put a lot of verses in. But we've all got this slide that we can make just by going to Kinko's and shooting that page. And then, if you wanted to, you could... And my early slides were actually... My early slides were actually magic marker, handwritten, as nicely as I knew how to print, on an overhead. And I've improved them a little bit since then. But this is the word read. Now, what you can't see is all of my illustrations are written on the side of the slide. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a nervous type, a little Italian blood, a little impulsive. And I can literally forget something. But I've got B.G., Billy Graham, 5 Psalms, 1 Proverbs. Mr. Graham says I read 5 Psalms, 1 Proverbs every day, and I get through Psalms and Proverbs once a month, and that keeps me vertically right with God and horizontally right with others. It's a great illustration. It's very brief. It uses Mr. Graham, begs the authority. Well, I've got it written on the side here. And I've also got any other thoughts about that written on the other side. And you can glance down. That's why you won't see me using many overheads that are just a little thin pieces of plastic. I use frames because they're my cheat sheet. And just like my book is my cheat sheet. And so then, of course, we've got the second one on sovereignty. And there are absolutely so many scriptures that you can use on sovereignty. But this is one of the best. Don't be afraid of them, for I am with you, will rescue you, says the Lord. Now, what are our people? They are what? Afraid. Now, when we look at people like Jeremiah, we think that Jeremiah was a giant of the faith. Well, what was he? He was afraid. He said, I'm too young. I'm just a what? I'm just a kid. If you're equal to your day, you leave God out of it, Charlie said at the end. Well, Jeremiah was not equal to his day. He needed the Lord. And so we want to let people know that they can be inadequate and become a giant for Jesus Christ. And then there's just so many scriptures. You have to watch your time all the time with Joshua 3:7. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And then Joshua 4:14, on that day the Lord magnified Joshua, and the people feared him, as they feared Moses all the days of his life. In 6:27, and the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was proclaimed throughout all the land. Now that's powerful. These are not giants before the Holy Spirit works through them. They're Gideons. They're hiding. They're Jeremiahs. They're too young. They're Joshuas who are magnified by the Lord. And we're trying to get across to these people that with God, all things are possible because He will give you the power to do it. Now, you have to realize I've got Joshua 3:7, 4:14, and 6:27 written down right there. But I've also got a lot of others, like Genesis 45:8. And that was where Joseph said to his brothers, it wasn't you that put me here, but God, for He made me a father to Pharaoh, a lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. God did it. God did it. I don't use all those verses, but they're there in case I forget. So just a couple of hints to throw them down. Matthew 5:16, life. Now when you look at the first hand we all know, the navigator hand. Hear, read, study, memorize, and meditate. The second hand, sometimes you may not see the flow. God is sovereign in your life by the power of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. And both hands are then operative by that little tiny mustard seed finger of faith. All right, now, Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men. Great illustrations. One of these is one of Charlie's old ones. I Hate Witnessing was a book prepared by an Australian evangelist. I Hate Witnessing. And in that book, in the second chapter, he had the elements of a witness. 7% is your tone of voice. 38%, pardon me, I've got it backwards. 7% is your words. 38% is your tone of voice. 55% is eye contact. Facial expressions, gestures, and dress. Now, the point here is simply this. Everybody thinks to be a great witness, you've got to know a lot of words. Right? But what are we seeing here? If this man is correct in his analyses, 93% of a witness is your what? It's your life. It's your life. So you're trying to encourage them all the way through. Let your light shine through your life, through your words. And you may be on a crusade field or a promise keeper field for just a few minutes. But I can guarantee you that in just a few moments, in that heightened spiritual atmosphere, the person you're talking to can sense if you love them. They can sense if you're sincere. They can sense if you know failure and you're a success because of Christ in the midst of failure. They can sense all of that. So what we're trying to get across in this course is that we are just simply God's men up there taking God's Word, hooking it together with if, ands, and buts, sharing a couple of personal, vulnerable illustrations, and letting the Holy Spirit guide us. So this is what we're trying to get across. Let's read it together. What God claims, I yield. What I yield, what God accepts, and what God feels, He uses. Let's realize Promise Keepers is literally fashioning a brand new model of mass evangelism. You realize that, don't you? I had dinner with Greg Laurie after that first time, and he told about expecting a couple of hundred to come forward, and 4,000 or 5,000 came forward. Who would have expected that? People say, well, mass evangelism is over. What's going to happen when Billy goes? My goodness, look what's happening before Billy goes. And by the way, I was talking to Stephanie Wills this afternoon, who's Mr. Graham's assistant, and I told her I'd be with you guys tonight, and she said, please ask the men to pray. She said, we're being attacked. She said, every crusade they're attacked. Usually, it's through Mr. Graham's family. Last minute things will come up and try to distract it. She said, they're already having it happen in Puerto Rico. She said, even my computer just went down. She's the one that does all the sermons for him. And she said, just ask the men to stop and pray for Mr. Graham, because he is older and he's not as strong as he once was. He needs to focus, and Satan likes to divert him. So if we could just stop a second, and Kent, maybe if you'd lead us in prayer, let's pray for Mr. Graham with what's fixing to happen there.
Father, we would just pray for Mr. Graham. Father, as you prepare these days, as you prepared for months, even years for this time, when, Lord, his message will be beamed in 165 countries around the world. And Lord, I would just pray for your personal hedge of protection around his life. We would pray that you would protect his family. Lord, we would expand that there might be a unity and a harmony there. Lord, that the physical arrangements that must be done, that you would help those people in these last days before the crusade. Lord, that the technological things that can go wrong at any time, that you will put a hedge around those and guard those. And Lord, that you might protect them. Father, we would pray that he might speak as Charlie spoke tonight, Lord, that the Spirit of God and the Word of God might just flow through him. We would ask that great and mighty things of love, what we even can comprehend, Lord, would be done as your word would flow to millions of people around the world simultaneously next week. And Lord, we just be careful to pray this and constantly think about it and be reminded to do that during the coming days. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thanks. Just two quick points, then I'll be through. Notice that as Charlie worked his way through hand number one, that when he came to a portion that dealt with the homework, he stopped at that point and went back to whatever was required. For example, here we're going to hear the Word of God as we come to the course. Read, we're going to read the Word of God as we do our lessons. Study. When Charlie came to that point, he had a stop, and he went back over and he showed you not only the study lesson, but we did the first question together. And the reason is to show people they're not hard. You can do them. And then, of course, memorize. And at that point, we stopped, went to the memory cards. Charlie explained them. Normally, he'd take the time for people to stand up and quote them. And then meditation. Meditation. And actually, that's the project in meditation. If you remember, Charlie went to that in the second hand. But if you look at our project on page 11, it's meditating on 1 Corinthians 13. So Charlie waited until the second hand. And when he was doing the second hand, he moved us over under the evidence of the Holy Spirit, under love. He moved us over to the project. And you'll tell the people to do that project, and then you'll bring in the last finger of meditation. So, to digest the Word of God, hear, read, study, memorize, meditate, and allow the Holy Spirit to guide our lives. He's sovereign in our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit, through the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word, by faith. Now notice, when Charlie first stood up, he said, one of the reasons people most often, there are two reasons rather, people don't witness. Number one, they don't know what to say, and number two, they're timid, or they don't have the power to say it. So what two hands do we cover? Knowing what to say and the power to say it. So we're trying to overcome their objection to witnessing, that is part of their own weakness in their own lives. They don't know what to say. We're going to give them simple tools in lesson three. And then, of course, the power to say it is relying on the Holy Spirit. So we're starting off in lesson one talking about witnessing. The last thing I'd say is, regardless of how many times I taught the courses in the years to come, in virtually every instance, because often we'd be 4 months, 3 months, 6 months between teaching. And I would take my notes, I would take a tape recorder and the tapes, and I would take my book and my overheads, and I would go rent a motel room to get away from the phone, and I'd just take a pair of shorts or sweatpants and sit Lotus on the floor with the tape recorder, and I'd just listen to Charlie, and I'd go through all of my overheads and have my book in front of me and listen to Charlie teach and refresh myself in the course and stop the tape when I needed to, write a thought or two down. And then the goal is to refine it so you stay on track. Don't spend too much time on the illustrations. And you can always have that little book in your hand. You can always have it there and you know where you are. Or you can lay it on the table by your overhead and as you're writing, you can look at your book. Just use the time to keep yourself patterned in the course so that you don't lose your place. And it's amazing how easy it is. But, guys, I love the notes we put together. But if you really try to teach from this, you're overwhelmed. You're just overwhelmed. So take the time to transfer it to the course. Use humor. Use illustrations. Make it yours. Charlie gives you the frame. And then have a good time. Have a lot of fun. First time you do it, you'll sweat a lot. But it becomes pretty comfortable after that. Any questions? Yes, sir. No, I'm sorry, Bob. We just do the first question on the lesson, but the project they do and meditate on it during the week. Yeah, but we don't have a week. So I try, in a deal like this where we're doing one night and the next day, I try to make everybody commit to at least doing the lessons within the next 2 or 3 weeks, because they're not long and they're not hard to do. And memorizing all those six scriptures, because really they're great witnessing scriptures. Memorize them all before we have the Promise Keepers meeting. All right, good. Any other questions?
Ready to go to bed?
Yeah, okay, let's pray. Father, thanks for this great time together. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you drive it into the human heart. Thank you, Lord, for the heritage of all these years from Dawson to Lauren to Charlie. And we realize, Lord, that we've been honored tonight to have your choice servant with us. And may God, you raise up choice servants of yours, inadequate men in the flesh, but very adequate in the spirit to accomplish your task as we share with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Amen.